We are tied in a single garment of destiny, Dr. King wrote from a jail cell in Birmingham. Preserve this fabric, O God, and strengthen each of us, slack or taut, like so many beautiful, unique threads woven together. Amen. I'll warn you in advance, this is a little bit of a history lesson. On September 21st, 1802, in Philadelphia, Bishop William White ordained Absalom Jones to be a priest in the then only 8-year-old Episcopal Church. Absalom Jones was a free black man in the newly established United States of America. He was born in 1746 in Delaware as an enslaved person. As an adult, he purchased the freedom of his wife and child, and let us be horrified by that for a moment. And then he bought his own freedom. He bought himself and became a community leader in Philadelphia. Philadelphia at the time was the capital of the United States of America. That would become impossible to do later in his children and grandchildren's lifetime. And we are reminded that history has not always moved forward towards justice. So here's your historical side note, and you could argue the entire sermon is, but here's the one I'm mindful of. William White, the bishop that ordained Absalom Jones, was a revolutionary. Now, if you're from Texas like me, you might have thought from history that all the people living here in this colony were revolutionaries at the time of the Revolutionary War, because I think that's what I was taught. And then I moved to New York, which was a loyalist colony, and started to see little plaques around New York, basically about being on the wrong side of the Revolutionary War. So I had to go back and read again. So William White, and it matters, was a revolutionary. He was a chaplain to the Continental Congress. He wrote the Constitution of the Episcopal Church, which establishes a similar governance for the church as for this country, because it was being written at the same time by some of the same people. And William White was our first presiding bishop. He, along with Samuel Provost, was made bishop in 1787 by the archbishops of Canterbury and York. They went to England to have this done, to plead for bishops for this new colony and country. These American bishops were the first Anglican bishops for a nation outside of Britain, and a former colony at that, because why would there be Church of England bishops anywhere else, you would wonder, right? So White for Pennsylvania, Provost for New York, and Seabury for Connecticut. Samuel Seabury, interestingly, not a revolutionary but a loyalist, was ordained by the Scottish Episcopal bishops in 1784, so a little bit earlier. So this is just the beginning of the church. He is there at the very beginning. And whether we should have a king or not has been a concern among us about which we did not agree from the very beginning. It is also said that Absalom Jones was the first black Mason and the first black Masonic Grand Master. I don't know if that's true, but it's there on the Googles. And there is definitely a Mason symbol on his gravestone. Now, I know there are Masons in this room, and I don't completely understand it, but it comes from stonemasonry. And it says that what I have read is that when the cathedrals were being built in Europe, these guilds of Masons, skilled craft people, artisans, would gather to build these cathedrals over generations and were free people, freemen, who were being paid salaries, and so were deciding how to put life together, people not tied to the land or tied to a feudal lord. It would make sense that that would really take root here in this country. And now these are civic organizations committed to developing character, a life of service, and leadership. So what I take from that is Absalom Jones was a community leader in every way possible. And like many in that time of so much possibility in this land, he was an abolitionist. There were many black and white abolitionists at the time. And he petitioned the president and the Congress to end the transatlantic slave trade and slavery in the United States. He was a great speaker and pamphleteer like Thomas Paine and Benjamin Franklin. And imagine if that movement had been successful, what this country might be like. You have used his letters here for this liturgy in the past, so I know you know a lot about him if you've been here for many years. Absalom Jones was a free black man in this new United States of America. a deeply religious Christian man, an Episcopalian, the first black priest in our church, and the founder of the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas in Philadelphia, which you can still visit today, and it is a mighty church. But what a time those years must have been. A few years ago, I read a novel about the colonial era in New York, which brought it to life in ways that I would never have considered. There was literally no uniform currency. We hadn't agreed to what that would be, and there were other currencies kind of running around. The different colonies had their currencies. So if you ran a business that took money, or if you ever needed to use money, you would have to decide what currencies you took and what they were worth and who else would take that from you and for how much value. It was a wild time. They were building absolutely everything. The colonies were very international, connected to Europe and the Caribbean in particular, but also to Africa and Asia. It was no little house on the prairie in any of these towns. There were lots of indigenous people around, Native Americans of different tribes in urban life. It was still being worked out in this early United States how all of these people would live on this land together. The great massacres and treaty violations of our history were yet to come. So for context, the Trail of Tears begins in 1830. Absalom Jones is ordained in 1802. In 1802, Absalom Jones is 56. He is 30 when the Revolutionary War begins. He lives in times of enormous possibility and risk and probably trauma and change. Remember, the debates at the time were of whether this new nation would be slaveholding or not. Would they have their own king? George Washington was proposed as king, and I know you've all seen Hamilton, so I won't wrap it for you, but you know how that history goes. Immigrants and Virginians in a room, I think, right? A hodgepodge of humanity deciding how to be a people together. At a time when kings and emperors had people, there were kingdoms, but the idea of a nation was new, a nation separate than a king. Not many people were made up of just people who were a people together because of their dignity under the rule of law on a particular spot on the planet. And for these United States, that law that was being generated was the Constitution. William White decided that the Protestant Episcopal Church in the United States would also be a church of laws, we call our laws canons, that gave power to the people, formed, he wrote, to function like the church of the second and third centuries, electing its bishops in houses of clergy and laypeople, not appointed by the emperor or the crown, as in England. It matters, these legal details that Absalom Jones spent his life fighting for. The legal detail of your dignity of the law is also a theological understanding. It is spiritual, defining who is a person, a whole person. Or if your authority comes from a crown, the crown is anointed by God, is what they thought at the time, and that can use divine right to cover tyranny, blessed by God. Or if God works through the people to call up one another's gifts, then God is among us, the Spirit among us. It matters a lot how we think it works. It is important to remember in these times that those founding revolutionaries were trying, and failing at times, but trying, to order a government true to the intended order of things, natural law, the dignity of the citizen, as Absalom Jones argues, is because of their dignity before God, equality and freedom and protection, because God wills it, and the law should reflect God's good ordering of God's creation. Now, we don't use that kind of language as the church in this very diverse society these days, but you can imagine those heady times of deciding together what the future would be, building a new thing, legally shifting the dignity of the earthly monarch chosen by God to the people, beloved of God, literally looking around for the best thinking and the most true and right and beautiful ideas to write a new way to live, to believe those words would have power. Absalom Jones and Richard Allen and their communities of black people were doing the same in Philadelphia from the beginning of this nation and this church. So let us remember today, when a vile racism is resurgent in our nation, that black Americans are not new here, nor always enslaved or oppressed, but free from the beginning, and integral to the making of this nation and this church, even if their arguments for equality and justice under the law, like the biblical prophets, were generations ahead of their time and not yet realized. Let us remember that history has dragged us back and propelled forward on matters of human dignity, and that does not diminish the everlasting truth of the witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we must love one another as friends, as equals, made for freedom. We are a church of loyalist and revolutionary, freedom fighter and landowner, indigenous and immigrant, rich and poor, and most of us some combination or somewhere in the middle, some complexity of all of those categories. And even if we can't feel it now, we too stand at the heart of a changing time. New words, new ways of being, rising up from the hinterlands and the young, the earth itself, rattling the way that things have been. Some of them casting around for older generations like those old bishops to see and bless the holiness new in them. Not at all clear what the future will look like, but sure of who we are. I know some of you, because you have told me, are worried for your job or your children's jobs right now. The president's proclamations are hitting us hard right here at St. Luke's. It is our neighbors who fear deportation. We are not worried here about which sports teams our kids want to be on. They're kids, after all, and it's sports. But we are worried about who might be bullied or afraid. You don't have to be ashamed here of finding yourself under attack right now. We all know that's wrong. Blessed Absalom Jones lived in a nation that would enslave him, take his dignity, that was actively negotiating his value and the value of his wife and his child, his friends, his congregation. And he fought with his friends to make this nation and this church one in which his people could be free. And he did not see it in his lifetime. May we who have tasted that community of freedom cling to it and fight for it for our neighbors. Or in the words of our brother Absalom Jones, let us arise out of the dust and shake ourselves and throw off that servile fear that the habit of oppression and bondage trained us up in. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are tied in a single garment of destiny, Dr. King wrote. Preserve this fabric, O God,